As a writer, are you making the most out of your speaking engagements? Perhaps you haven't stepped into the speaking arena, but you'd love to know the best steps to get started. Today's guest is going to give us so much information, we're going to be able to move from page to stage and transition into the speaker that God has designed for us to be. Stick around. Your best writing life begins in 30 seconds.
Do you want to go deeper in your faith even while you're on the go? No matter how busy the season you're in, Access More has a library of faith-based podcasts to help you grow spiritually. With podcasts from Christian thought leaders such as Christine Kane, Lisa Harper, Taryn Wells, and Bob Goff, you can hear podcasts on religion, culture, family, entertainment, and so much more. Access More gives you a safe space to find inspiring conversations about faith. Start listening today at accessmore.com.
Welcome to Your Best Writing Life, an extension of the Blue Ridge Mountains Christian Writers Conference held in the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina. I'm your host, Linda Goldfarb. Each week, I bring you tips and strategies from experts in the writing and publishing industry to help you excel in your craft. And I'm so very glad that you're listening in today. During this episode, you'll learn how to move from page to stage. I love it. My industry expert is Tammy Whitehurst. Texas twang and southern slang, Tammy Whitehurst is a full-time speaker and co-director of the Christian Communicators Conference. She has been described as a hoot with a capital H. Tammy is real. She also struggles like the rest of us with dust, dishes, cellulite, junk drawers, and wrinkles. If you get a chance to hear her speak, oh, don't hesitate. You will be blessed. Tammy Whitehurst, welcome to Your Best Writing Life.
I am so glad to be here. Let me just tell you, from one woman to another who speaks and writes, I feel like that God has brought together two women who, we may not drink Red Bull, but we definitely have the energy of Red Bull. And it is all from Christ who gives us every single ounce of it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We are energized for him. Are we not, Tammy? We love to be able to step out. We're outgoing. We're all of these things. And as a matter of fact, we're both speakers first who write. And I'd love for you to, if you would, as we're starting here, and we're going to be learning about how we can transition from page to stage, from writing to being on a platform, no matter the size. You know, it could be two people, it can be 1,000, 5,000 people, but we need to be able to feel comfortable and empowered when we step into that place. Let's offer a reversed speaker angle here. Share how you transitioned from the stage into writing your devotional, High Heels and Hallelujahs.
Well, you know, Linda, I will tell you that it takes courage to do what Christ has called you to do. And when Christ has called us to write and to speak, man, sometimes it can be very difficult to begin. Mm. But when I say that it takes courage to go from the page to the stage, it begins by showing up and letting yourself be seen. And that is so difficult a lot of times. So how did I transition into writing my devotional, from the stage to writing that? I will tell you that people were always asking me, Tammy, do you have a book? Tammy, do you have a book? Because whether we are a speaker who writes or a writer who speaks, words are our wheelhouse. Mm. And what I have learned is, if people are constantly asking for it, then I needed to give it. And audiences love to hear people speak, but they equally love to buy the book that the speaker wrote. Mm-hmm. And with that being said as well, publishers also love authors with speaking platforms.
Oh, this is true.
Yes, a speaking platform is important to publishing houses. So as a writer, you're already on the path to becoming a speaker, and your book has an element of every talk For me, going from the talk to the book, I had to make myself sit down and do that very thing. And so I want to talk to all of you who love to sit down and write, but to stand up and speak is a totally different ballgame. So let's jump in with both feet.
Absolutely. We're not even going into the shallow end, folks. We're going into the deep end together here. And, you know, Tammy, with your speaking, a lot of people have mentioned to you, wow, this is like an overnight success. Tammy, you're just doing so much right now. I'd love for you to address that phrase, overnight success. Is that really how it works for us as speakers?
It doesn't work like that. And it certainly didn't work like that for me. I know when I look back, though, Linda, I see where it began, because God knew I was going to do this when He knitted me in my mama's womb. I just didn't know that. But when I look back now, I see where I gave speeches in school. I would be the one that they would ask to walk up to the podium and introduce somebody. I have taught classes in church. I gave announcements when I was in school. I gave announcements when I was older, when I was in college. I loved speech class. I have hosted things before, and I've organized things. And so when I look back, I see where God, I can see the path. I can see the layout there. Mm-hmm. The hardest part is start. But I will tell you, as a speaker, when I realized that I needed to have things in writing as well, I was green. Oh, my goodness, I was green. But I was willing to try. And I was so green that I didn't even know that there were rules. And I researched, because research has to be a part of it. I researched and actually submitted an article to Christianity Today. And they accepted it. But first, before they ever accepted it, Linda, the woman said, I just want you to know that we don't accept unsolicited manuscripts, articles, anything like that. We have our own people. But today is your day. I'm going to tell you, God will make a way if you will say yes. Because that was one, I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to do that. And when she read the article that I had submitted, it was called Busyness is Not a Spiritual Gift. And when she read that, she emailed me back and she said, if you're willing to have a teachable spirit, and this was many years ago, if you're willing to have a teachable spirit, I will teach you how to do this well. And I mean, she marked it up with all kinds of red. It looked like the page was bleeding, but you know what? She taught me how to do something that I didn't know how to do. And when people say to me, Tammy, this happened so quick for you, it was overnight. I think to myself, oh no, it was far from overnight. It started a long time ago when I was in seventh grade and I wrote a book called Rufus. When I look back and I see that, but it's a lot of hard work and there's no such thing as an overnight success. As a matter of fact, I've learned that God doesn't drop things in our lap, Linda, but He does put them within our reach if we're willing to step out on faith and just grab it.
This is so good. And that's what we're going to be offering today. Folks, we want you to succeed. Succeeding as writers means that you will be speaking. And the size of the group, we'll discuss that today a little bit, but you will be speaking. And how can you begin that journey? And if you're currently speaking, how can you rev it up a little bit? We're going to discover that today as Tammy Whitehurst and I kind of go back and forth. And she has amazing tips for all writers who are not currently speaking, as well as for those that are speaking, but they want to go into the deeper end as well. So here's my first question. For our authors who are not currently speaking, Tammy, share your top tips to get them started.
Well, first I will say this. Most people quit right before something is about to happen. start is the hardest part. Remember that. And I'm going to add this before I share those tips. Somebody else's success is not your failure. That is something that a lot of times I find with writers and speakers. They look at other people's writing success, speaking success, and somehow they listen to the enemy tell them that that's their failure. That is not true. So we're going to start today, and I want you to clean the slate. Whatever you have listened to the enemy whisper in your ear, I want you to flip that, and I want you to listen to the call that God has put upon your life. And one of the ways, if you are not currently speaking, one of the ways you can do that is I want you to think about your book. Now, I'm a speaker who writes, and I know that most of you are already writers. You have written books, you have written articles, you've already done all that. I want you to think about your book or what you love to write about. And if you had to reduce that to one word, what would it be? Because when I say that, that is what your signature message, that's what your message is going to be. Is your book, if you have to shrink that down, is your book on joy, hope, friendship, acceptance? Is it on hard times? Is it on obstacles? Is it on perseverance? You have to be known for something. Otherwise, you are known for nothing. What is the one word that your book portrays? Think about that first.
And I'm gonna jump in with mine. And everything that I write on when I speak, no matter what, I've written on personalities, I've written Bible study, I write articles, all of this, it's about relationships. And that was the first word. I started getting torn thinking, well, I could say personalities, but not everything that I write on has that personality thread, but everything has relationships in there. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I say, Tammy, is I go, everyone is in the relationship business. And that's what I'm in, the relationship business. So relationships would be my one word if I were to hone it down. So that's very good.
And I have heard you speak before, and no matter what subject you are talking about, that's exactly right. It you talk about, you write about relationships. So you know exactly what the one word is. For me, mine is joy. Mm-hmm. Whether I'm talking about tough stuff, whether I'm talking about overcoming something, whether I'm talking about friendship, it's all going to land on joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, once you have done that, Linda, I think the next thing that we have to do is you have to have a hook. As a writer, you already know what that is. As a speaker, we need a hook also. So once you step up onto that platform, think about how to catch their attention the same way you do when you write a book. For example, there are many times that I will come in and I hit the ground running and I will look at them and I will say, something like this. Let me just tell you, I was so excited to be here, I actually shaved my legs. Boom. Usually they bust out laughing, but I get their attention at the beginning. Now, I use that a lot of times if I'm going to talk about something funny, because immediately I have their attention and I am not in competition with the iPhone, which, by the way, you have less than 30 seconds to beat the iPhone, beat any type of phone, because that is your competitor right there.
It is.
So if you're going to get up and you're going to talk a serious talk, let's say something like this. You stand up, they've already introduced you walk up there and you are talking as you are walking. A lot of times people walk up to the podium, They pause and then they talk. But if you grab their attention, if you hook them from the minute your first foot is touching the stage and you're talking to them, as I stood in the middle of that filthy room, I knew I did not want to live like this ever again. You have got their attention. Something along the lines of, it's just according to what you're, these are just some typical hooks.
Sure.
Traffic was at a standstill. Drivers are honking and yelling at each other. And I had no idea which direction to go. You grab people's attention as a speaker the same way that you grab people's attention as a reader. And then you have to have that middle and you have to have a powerful close. So if you cannot tell at this point that speakers are writers and writers are speakers because we are word weavers. That is what we are. We weave our words in such a way that the audience is going to hear what God has to say to them, but he's using us as the vessel to do it, whether we're saying it or we're writing it out.
Very good. Very good. I consider myself when I'm about to go up on a platform, no matter what size platform, I always go to Father first and I say, Lord, if you're not with me, I'm not stepping up there.
Yes.
So give me the words that I'm to say. And if you don't speak, I won't speak. Now, yes, I'm prepared. I know where I will begin. I know where I will end. And the variable is going to be how I get there dependent on my audience, because I know that knowing my audience is very important. And I can have an audience of, and I did at one time, and this was, they brought me in as the comedian for a group of CPAs. Mm. Oh, my word. CPAs do not laugh. And yeah. I was like, what am I going to do? This is not going to be good. We got through it. It was wonderful. And they applauded. But it was, you could not go by facial expressions. I had to be prepared for that when I went in. And so knowing my audience was key for me then, because I'll change up some of the stuff depending too on how interactive the audience is with me. Do you find that to be true for yourself, Tammy?
Absolutely. You have to not only, like you said, know the audience, but you're getting energy from that audience and they're getting it from you. And it's almost like this whirlwind that's going on. But if you don't know, just like what you said, Linda, if you don't know who the audience is, you're in trouble. Because I know that I speak at deep retreats where they're really wanting to let go of things. I speak in situations where they want me to walk on and walk off and they want me to make them laugh. It can be a medical conference. It can be a general conference. I speak to school faculties often, but I have to know who my audience is. Once I spoke to a group of school nurses and they were from all over the region. The thing is, if you don't know who your audience is, you will not connect with them as easily, because you have to do your research. Knowing your audience is more than just knowing the title of who they are. It's knowing what they do. So Ben, the reason why I say that is because when I talk to school nurses, I'm going to talk about the things that school nurses go through. I was a teacher a long time, so I know a little bit about that part. If I talk to teachers, I'm going to talk about things teachers go through. If I talk to a general audience, I'm going to talk to what women go through. If I'm speaking at a Valentine's banquet or a marriage retreat, I'm going to talk about what couples go through. Make sure that you know your audience.
And exactly what you're saying, it prepares me to know the slant that I will take. And here's a word that I use for knowing your audience, Tammy, is respect.
Oh, that's so good.
I'm respecting those that I'm coming to serve with my words. And I don't want to sound like I have a canned talk. Mm-hmm. We have the theme. We know the purpose. And as you said, you ask your audience, is there something that needs to be addressed with your group of ladies? Is there something you're dealing with that I can bring in that element of truth and that layer of what I call not perfected humor, but applicable humor?
Yes.
Then they see that we see them and we're there for them. And it is so powerful when we can do that. So very, very powerful.
It is. And what you have to do, you do have to ask ahead of time, like what you said. We have to ask that event coordinator ahead of time, what is the average age of people in the group? What kind of conference is this? You have to ask those things, because when it comes to age especially, there's certain humor that works with one age group, but it's not going to work with another. Because when you think about what you would throw out as funny to 20 and 30 year olds, it's not going to be the same as those postmenopausal women over the age of 50. So
right.
You have to make sure that you're not doing the same talk to an audience, regardless of what their age is. Because honestly, you have the women who say blouse and the women who say shirt, the women who say breeches, and the women who say pants, the women
so
who
good.
Say beauty shop, and the women who say hair salon. And I'll land on this one. The women who call their shoes thongs, and the women who call their shoes flip-flops. Do you know? Do you know the age of your audience? So important.
So very important. And what I do as well, because I have the opportunity to speak in schools. We have so much in common. This is really amazing. And if I'm speaking and it's to young people, what the age that I will speak to, and I think this can be addressed as well with a mixed audience, I speak to the ones who will more freely interact with me.
Yes.
Because they will get the whole group moving.
That's exactly right.
And then it's like, okay, you have a built-in cheering section. You have mm-hmm. those that are going to take what you say and apply it. And it really does make for a blessed time together. So this is all good. All good. Yay. Anything else under the top tips that you have?
I do. You mentioned this, but I want to go a little further on it. When you small groups, low turnouts, don't be scared of those small groups or those low turnouts, especially at the beginning, because they will grow. But regardless if a crowd is 15, 50, 500 or 2,500, we treat them all the same. We put the same preparation time into it, because I will tell you, as speakers and writers, ever since the beginning of time, people love to huddle around a campfire and listen to a story. That's what we're doing. So if we can develop stories, if we're speaking in a way that will create a visual image in the mind of our audience, let me just tell you, they're going to remember that a whole lot more than they're going to remember your facts and your PowerPoints. Mm. Because facts and PowerPoints don't connect the heart and the mind typically. Your story is going to do that connection thing. And if someone walks up to you after you have spoken and they say this, "Girl, you must be peeking through my window." Do we know each other? That means that you connected with that person. You
yes.
did exactly what God has called you to do.
Mm. And That is such a blessing when someone goes, "You were just in my car, right?" You want to go, "Yeah, that was me. And I was surprised you saw me." But yes, we do want to connect that way, because when we connect with the emotions, when we connect with the stories, they take home the story. They take home the story. They may not take home point one, point two, point three, but the story is going to resonate with them. So this is actually what you said, you know, not to worry whether your group is small or large. I think that that is one of the things that Christian speakers underutilize in their talks. They only want to go and speak if an audience is a certain size. And there's some other things in there too that, and I know that you have a great concept about PowerPoints. I'd like for you to share that as well. But what are some of the things that our Christian speakers maybe underutilize in their talks? And you mentioned, you know, don't despise small beginnings. Every audience is a good size audience.
Also, you've got to have that audience interaction. And what I mean by that is, I remember a long time ago when people would say, "Oh, if you're nervous, just look over their heads. Don't look directly at anyone." That is the biggest mistake that you can make.
Amen.
You want to make eye contact with your audience. You want to look directly in the eyes of people, because God's given you these people to hear what you have to say, and they have carved out a chunk of time. Maybe they've spent the money. They want to walk away with something. So you have to have audience interaction. I often will tell people as speakers, what they will do is they will look one direction predominantly. And then the rest of the audience was not interacted with at all. They look, if they're a person who has a tendency to look straight ahead, then they never look to the left or to the right. They only focused on the audience in the center. You must focus on the entire audience. That means that you're looking both sides as well as the center. That will make everyone seem like you looked eyeball to eyeball with them. That's important. Also, if you are teaching something tough, those tough subjects that kind of dig into your heart, but those are the subjects where change can happen. I'm talking about the kind of change that God can do. I always will walk off of a stage and walk down to the floor. That is audience interaction, because you are getting personal with them. You're getting closer to them. You are not up on a stage far away. You're an arm stretch, an arm's length away. And I know it sounds crazy, but you pull in closer to that audience and they're going to pull in closer to what you're saying.
That's so good. That's so good. You also talk about, as a speaker, to understand the power of the pause. Share that with us.
The thing, Linda, as a speaker coach and as a speaker myself, some of the things that we underutilize, besides just thinking that a small group isn't as important, we've got to use what I call the power of the pause. Whenever you throw a line out there that you want them to think about, you pause behind it, because then it sticks. This is an example. In Isaiah, God tells us, "No weapon formed against us will prosper." It doesn't say the weapons won't form. Now, I paused after both of those times because that is so powerful. And it sticks. You can tell when you pause, people are going to write things down. Now, that was with a serious pause. If you are speaking funny, you have to pause between the funny areas. Otherwise, what you will see is people are looking at each other going, "What did she say? What did she say?" Because they were laughing and you never paused. We've talked about audience interaction and how important that is. Now, many people think that audience interaction means a PowerPoint. That does not mean audience interaction. PowerPoints are not going to be remembered. You are going to be remembered. They didn't come to hear you read to them. They came to hear you speak to them. And that is so important, so important. Don't rely on a PowerPoint to be the gift that God has given you, because that is not the gift God has given you. God has given you the ability to write and to speak. If you use a PowerPoint or a video clip or a song clip, and those are all fine, don't overuse them.
We've gathered so much already, and we know that as a writer, we have a book. To be able to reduce that book to one word, that is such a fabulous, fabulous concept to grab onto. We need to have that hook. The hook that you use for the book may be similar to the hook that you use when you start your talk to be able to draw everyone in. We know small groups, you know, do not despise small beginnings. God uses everything. And you told us, Tammy, that we need to know our audience and to be able to speak directly into them. And that's what I really love, to be able to engage with that audience at a level that it becomes intimate, where they truly identify that what I'm saying has value for them. And I'm not talking about me. I am talking about the we. There's something interesting that you offer to us as well as writers, that we can create our own event. Can you take us there for a minute?
If you have a book and you don't know how to get started speaking, first of all, you have to open your mouth and you have to let people know that that is what you do, that you are willing to speak. Then you book yourself. And what I mean by that is, if no one is booking you, then you create a booking. You host a brunch or a lunch. Get an event center. It can be small, it can be large, in between, it doesn't matter. That's but right. You aren't the only one talking. Make sure that you also have another speaker, maybe a musician. And when you have another speaker or another musician, all of you are on the stage. And I call that collaboration. And Linda, you know exactly what I mean by that.
Absolutely. And we must collaborate. That is key to having a fantastic offering for our audience. This is great. Keep going.
Whenever it comes to that event that you're creating and you're collaborating and you're asking another speaker to come on with you, you see, then it's not all about you. You are pitching someone else. And in the process, people are also hearing you, and it works. My first one that I ever did, I was doing early morning breakfast and coffee. It was called Coffee and Conversation at Panera Bread, and it was Bible study stuff. And so I had a musician come and she would play, and I would do the Bible study. And my goodness, 25 and 30 people would come to Panera Bread at, it was either 5:30 or 6 o'clock in the morning. Mm. That was a group of women who worked 8 to 5. And they couldn't carve out any other time but that time. And so they would come. And those people, whenever somebody needed a speaker, hey, they knew a speaker.
Amen.
So then they would call me. If you do something for a luncheon or a coffee and dessert, make sure that it's just not all you, and then promote it on social media. I have done that kind of thing with so many people where we are working together. Women love to attend things together. So they will get their friends, they'll load up the car, and they will go. And you just give them what they want to hear. And remember, it's also a great way to sell your books, because you're going to have a merchandise table.
That's right.
And when you speak, people want to buy your book.
Here's another thing, Tammy, that I even before my book was published, I was writing, and as a speaker, well, I was writing for a local Christian newspaper. I happened to be on the radio, so that was a good bonus for me. But I started carrying other people's books that were in alignment with my faith, my belief. I read the book, I believed in the book, and I could purchase it from the publisher for almost half price and resell it. So I could carry someone else's book on my table before I had my own book. And yes, great resource that way. And as you said, if you're speaking or even attending an event where it's a luncheon, everyone is going to ask, well, tell us a little bit about you. Well, I'm speaking, this is what I'm doing, and they may bring you back as a speaker. And you never know who's going to be in the audience, yes, but always having something ready that you can talk on. And I don't know if this has happened to you, Tammy. It has for me. I've been at an event. They're waiting on the speaker. Something happens with the speaker, and they're searching in desperation across the audience, and eyes land on me, and I see them asking me to come up to the side. Linda, our speaker is not going to get here until tomorrow, but we had this slot for da-da-da-da-da. Do you have something you could speak on? And you always have something in your pocket. You yes, have something that you can go to scripture, and that's the wonderful thing about scripture. Your talks can start with truth, and then you expound, or they can start with a theme, then you add scripture. So if you yes, always have scripture that you can go to and say, let's see what God's word says about this today, that can open up doors you weren't expecting to open. But if you do your due diligence and you prepare, we never know how God is going to use us. He is always faithful to utilize those that he gifts us, whether we write or speak. And if that is a gifting, he's going to allow us to use it. Is there anything else that you would recommend for authors that don't currently have what they would consider a speaking audience?
Well, first of all, I want to back up and say, never turn down the mic, like what you just said.
Good.
Never turn down the mic. It shows that you're a speaker. And yes, the same thing has happened to me, Linda, where people come up to me and said, Tammy, can you talk? You may be scared, but you believe that the impossible is possible with God. And if God yes, called you to do it, he'll get you through that. And it will work. As far as, is there anything else? Yes. Just like as writers, you invest in your writing gift. You want to make it as good as it can be. You do the same thing with speaking.
Yes.
You invest in speaking. You go to conferences. You research. You listen to speakers. You watch the way they do things so that you learn how to do it the way the Lord wants you to do it. But you have to invest time. You also have to invest money. And you invest in conferences.
Go where the teaching is, because we learn. It is that iron sharpening iron. And we get better when we're around those who are better. That's just part of how it works. You have given us so much today. And I like what you said as well earlier. And this is a quote I think everyone should write and put on your mirror, put anywhere that you're going to sit down. Maybe you're sitting down and you're writing a talk or you're writing on your book. When you said, someone else's success is not my failure. That is so huge. It is really good. So Tammy, as we're wrapping up, do you have a final thought that you'd like to share with our listeners today?
You know what, Linda? I would love to give them a gift. And I hope that they take me up on it, because we've talked a lot about stepping outside the comfort zone. We've talked a whole lot about courage. And courage starts with showing up and letting yourself be seen. So I want to share several, As many as want to take advantage of this, being a guest writer on my author page on Facebook. And if they want to see how that's done, I run those every Saturday. It's 350 words or less. And they have to have a scripture. But the way that it works, it's like you're having a conversation with a friend. And that friend is sitting on the front porch and you're sharing a cup of coffee. And it is just a conversation.
Yeah.
So if they go to my website, tammywhitehurst.com, and they click on Facebook, it takes them directly to that page, and they will see what I'm talking about. But I love to collaborate, and I know that we talked a lot about that. This is my gift to be able to share your listeners with my readers so that people can get to know them better. What does it take? All it's going to cost them is a little bit of courage.
Amen. And friends, I'm going to encourage you, when you go over to Tammy Whitehurst Speaker on Facebook, what you're going to find there is her readers, those she connects with. She has almost 18,000 who are interactive on her Facebook page. And she's offering you the opportunity to speak to them like you're sitting at a table in your dining room or on the couch or outside where it's nice and wonderful and just sharing your thoughts. Please take advantage of this. Please, please, please. They share so much. They love to share the posts that come through on that Facebook page. You also are the co-director of the Christian Communicators Conference. Would you let everyone know what they would expect when they attend this amazing conference for Christian speakers?
Well, the Christian Communicators Conference, Linda, I like to say it's a small conference where big things happen because a lot of people got their start at the Christian Communicators Conference. When you come to it, you're going to leave with your next group of friends because one of the things that we do is we don't compete, we collaborate with you. We talk about collaboration, and the best part is that Christian communicator speakers and authors, we work together. We not only collaborate, though, we promote each other. And it just works well.
So good. And you are equipped. There's so much training that occurs at the Christian Communicators Conference, and it's held in the Dallas area in Texas. So y'all would need to get your y'all on. And now, even if you don't have a y'all, you'll have one by the time you head back home. It's an intimate conference. That way you get a lot of one-on-one. You really get to spend time learning. And as Tammy said, iron sharpening iron, and just meeting some people you're going to stay connected with through the years. So highly encourage that. And I have all of the links to connect with Tammy, including the link that goes to her Facebook speaker page. And also, you'll have the contact information to get a hold of her if you go to tammywhitehurst.com and just click on the contact there, send her an email and say, I would like to write a post, a daily devotion for your readers on your speaker page. And she will absolutely embrace you. Now, she may do a little tweaking, but if you follow the guidelines, it'll all be good. All be good. Tammy Whitehurst, thank you so much for taking the time to be here with me on Your Best Writing Life.
Thank you, Linda, for asking me. And I look forward to seeing you at the Christian Communicators Conference because you're teaching and we have so much that we can learn from you as well. So thank you for having me on today, Linda.
Thank you. I do look forward to being back. Went last year as an attendee and it was fabulous. And getting to go back this year to be able to encourage and equip those that just became part of my family. So always wonderful, always. Thank you, Tammy, and thank you, friends. Thank you for joining us. And if you would, please take a moment to share this podcast with another writer or two, some speakers even. Give us a star rating, post an episode review, and hit that subscribe button or the follow button, whatever your podcasting platform allows. I greatly appreciate what you have to say about your best writing life as much as what you choose to write for God's kingdom. This is Linda Goldfarb, and I look forward to being here with you next time on your best writing life.